Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, I pray that everybody has had a great day. It's been a nice day here today. I pray all of you had a nice one and that you've been walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to have you here with me. Back into the Word of Almighty God. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your Word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this service, to bring to us and to those that will be hearing this study tonight, this evening, Father, to open all hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word so that we can grow in faith, in trust, in strength to share this gospel with all that we come in contact with. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, you know, we were in the 5th chapter of Luke. We didn't get all the way through that. So, we're going to be taking a look here at the last 12 verses of chapter 5, and we'll be going into chapter 6. How far we'll get, only the good Lord knows, but he'll take us where he wants us. All right. Beginning here with 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. Now, there's two words here that I want to share with you publican. That word publican means tax collector. Now, we know that this one that is called Levi here is better known as Matthew, which is the author of the first gospel. Here in 28. And he left all, rose up and followed him. See, again, there's no argument about it. He just does as the Lord asked him to do. Today, when you talk about someone following the Lord Jesus Christ, or joining with you and following him, you're going to get an argument. Mankind has grown just that hard-hearted. Now, 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Now we know here, and we see that here Levi or Matthew was actually celebrating his new faith. And he was inviting former friends to share in the festivities. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Like I say, nothing Jesus does suits the scribes and the Pharisees. 31. Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, Jesus there, of course, he's not dealing with just the question of whether there are, in fact, righteous people who need no repentance. But by righteous, he refers to the Pharisees who thought that they were righteous and thus felt that they had no need to repent. But you see, what it amounts to is they were actually and truly self-righteous. Now, 33. And they said unto him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" You see, nothing about Jesus is satisfying them at all. And it's hard to reach mankind today also, because they today are walking in pride and self-righteousness and selfishness, to where to them they don't need nothing or no one else. They just take care of everything themselves. But you see, the truth is we cannot take care of everything ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only just him, we also need the Holy Spirit and the Father. It takes all in our lives if you and I are going to be able to make heaven our home. Because we need the knowledge and the truth on what we need, and then we also need the knowledge and truth of how to obtain what we need, and the way and the guidance on how to make heaven our home. All right. Now, here in 34. And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? No, they don't. We all know on these wedding days and things, how things go. 35. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And here he is talking about the time that he will be leaving them, and then what they will need to be doing. 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. You see, this parable that he is talking about here actually talking about really and letting them know the coming of the fulfilling of the law. And the establishment of something new that will be happening. 37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Because you see, here in 38 he says, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. We know that this is kind of unique to Luke and the way that it states things. And he's talking here a whole lot about those that are not willing to hear the word of God and to hear the gospel. And he's talking about his own, about the Jewish people. And he goes on now with the last verse here, 5, verse 39, it says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. for he saith the old is better. Well, if you know anything about wine at all, and the way true wine is made, wine, as it ages, does, it gets better. Because on the average, about every 21 days, it will actually repurify itself by fermenting again and getting rid of everything that shouldn't be there. And it does, it becomes better. Now, we're going to be going into chapter 6. And we're going to kind of start out here with things of the Sabbath. And about the chosen 12 and all. Verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went to the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. Now, see, Pharisees don't like that either. They don't want them eating just because they're in a cornfield and they just taking the ear of corn and eating it at their own feet. Verse 2. And certain other Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? Because you see, to the Pharisees, because they're in the cornfield and plucking these ears and eating them, that they're working. No, they're not. They're just getting something to eat. 3. And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him, for how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. He asked, did you know that? Now, 5. Then he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Did you see? That's why today we really don't honor a day that we call Sabbath above the other days of the week, because as a child of the living God, every day is the same with us, and every day is to be kept for him. He is to be first in each and every day of our lives. Now, 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now, and the scribes and Pharisees wants to. Naturally, because they wanted to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. He said it's all he's watching for, is to find something to use against him. Eight. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, raise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Quite a question, wouldn't it? Now, 10, and looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Just by obeying the direction of stretching forth his hand brought the healing. 11. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus, because he had healed his hand. 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. So you see, we're not the only one to pray. Jesus himself. We know he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and everything, but here he has went and prayed all night. 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Thaddeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. See, he had two Judases. One was the brother James, and the other was Judas Iscariot. Now, 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. He's drawing great multitudes. And mainly because of healing. 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. All of them that has diseases, and sicknesses, and all that have got unclean spirits, they all were healed. 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now, 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You see, we're told and warned in the Word of God, when we become a child of God, we're going to be persecuted and rejected by mankind. But he tells us too, here in 23, not to be sad, though. He's telling us here in 23, he says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. They just do unto you what they done, what their fathers done to the prophets. 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. 25. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You see these warnings we are getting? And they are all true. Now, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You see, we're not to hold a grudge of any kind for anything. 29. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Just let him have both. Because you see, God not only can, but will supply your need. Okay, now, 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. In other words, what he's telling us here is those takes from us, whether they come to bargain or whatever, we don't ask for that back again. Now, 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Then the way you would want them to treat you. Just because they're not treating you that way doesn't give you the right not to treat them so. Now, 32. For if ye love them, pardon me, which love you, pardon me. Which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Pardon me a moment. Now, 34, and if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. We're not to do that. If someone is in need, and comes to borrow what they need from us, we're not to look for that back. Most do, but that's not what we're supposed to do. Now, 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You see, we're not to consider their state of being. If they are really in need, then we are to do what we can without looking to receive that back again. Now, 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We know he is merciful to each one of his children always. Now, 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye might, with it shall be measured to you again. You don't give expecting it back, but you know that God is going to take care of you. It may not be with the same thing that you have helped with, but it will bring everything back equal or even greater. Now, 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You know, here where he's talking about perfect refers to the state of being actually fully trained and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in accordance with a teacher's instructions. Sinless. And that is the state we are to accomplish. Now, Verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, perceiveth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Well, we know that a mote is a speck of something. And we know, you know, he's telling us there, and telling us we've got a beam in our own eye, which would be something far bigger and greater. And we need to get rid of that first. And then we can help the brother. You see, as long as we are walking in sin, we can't help those because they know our lives and how we are living and all. And they're not going to accept us trying to teach them to do right and good when we're not. And I've heard that I don't know how many times through my lifetime, when I would be talking to someone about going to church, and they told me, I don't need to go down there. Because, you see, I see them out here, where they go, what they're doing, and they're just like me. So I don't need to go. As our church is weakened, that is what has taken place. Now, because, you see, people do watch. 42. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You see, and when we are doing things that way, look what it costs. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. God doesn't joke. He doesn't play games. Tells it to us straight out. 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. No, everything has its own fruit on it, whatever that might be. And it can't bring anything else. And that's the way you and I are supposed to be, if we are a child of God. Now, we are to bring forth the word of Almighty God in our lives so that we can then share with others. And it is all to be good fruit. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What is in your heart mostly is exactly what will come out of your mouth. If you have got more evil than things that comes out of your mouth, it's going to be of evil. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, filling your heart, then what comes out of your mouth will be of and about him and will be bringing forth good fruit. Now, 46. Well, let's see something here. Yeah, I think it's 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now those that obey me, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat violently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Because you see, it didn't have that solid rock foundation. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is to you and I. He is our rock. He is our foundation. And he is the cornerstone to the church. His church. And that's the only church we need to be worried about. Yes, we all need a church to attend, to be with God's people. But make sure that that place is a place to where you are hearing the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have now come to the end of chapter 6. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And I pray, Father, that we have all rejoiced in this day and been glad in. Now, Father, as we come to a close this evening, I pray for each and every one that will hear this message, whether it is with us now or whether they will hear it later, that they too will receive something good out of it that will help them along the way to grow stronger in your ways and the ways of the word, and that they will grow stronger in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in your word, making heaven their home. Father, I'm praying for this land which we live. You know the evils and all here. And we pray for the evils to be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that are walking in the pathway of righteousness, that love you, Father, and love the Lord Jesus, love your people and this land. And now, Father, help us to put this land back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them to receive and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, keep us in health and keep us safe through this night. And bring us back together in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. Eastern time and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Everyone, I pray that you have gotten something good from this study. I know I did. And I pray that you have. Pray also to see you and have you with me in the morning and back into the study of God's Word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So have a great evening and a great night. Bye-bye now.